Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I just would love for it just to be on middle school and high school. I wish there was some compromise we could make with that. I really appreciate this piece of work. As it's been stated, and the American Library Association gave it the Coretta Scott King Award for African-American authors who write about the culture and human values of African-Americans, but I really would love just to be middle school and high school.
This is going back about a week and a half for the Escambia County School District discussion about the three books, Nowhere Girls, New Kid, and Bluest Eye. I hadn't had a chance to share the actual discussion with you. We reported the results. But this is David Williams. And I'll tell you what, I was watching this meeting, and the one thing that I took away was, remember when we did the first round of book removals, and I said, you know, one of the things I would like them to see is to think a little bit more about some nuance and how they handle this, you know, because a couple of the books, especially the, you know, like Entango Makes Three book, was for little kids. And I thought it's not appropriate for little kids because of subject matter, but it's fine for older kids, like perfectly fine. So it doesn't need to be removed from the entire school district, just maybe not in the elementary school libraries, right? And I was very encouraged to see them engage in exactly that kind of conversation when it came to these books. New Kid is one, and David Williams said, look, it's an award-winning book. Coretta Scott King, award-winning book. And he says, you know, what I'd like to do is see it at middle and high school instead of the younger grades that had been proposed to be for 4th to 12th grade. And Paul Fetzko, who was very hoarse on the night, explained.
A broader array of grades. An amendment was made to restrict that, and now a vote has to be taken on the original motion. As amended? Yes.
Okay. So we know what we're voting on?
Presumably.
Okay. Any other discussion?
Presumably we know what we're voting on. I think that was Cindy Odom. I always forget her first name. She's the attorney for the school district.
Who was the guy talking?
Well, the guy was Paul Fetzko.
He sounds like Batman.
Yeah, he was very, very hoarse that night. I don't think it was from the seven-hour meeting, although it could well have been. So they voted to move that one ahead for middle and high schools only. And then the other two, Bluest Eye and Nowhere Girls. And same thing for Bluest Eye. That's the Toni Morrison book that's, you know, about a girl who, I've not read it, I'm just going on the summaries, but it's, you know, it's a highly acclaimed award-winning book about a little black girl who becomes so alienated from her own race that she wants to have the blue eyes of, you know, like, that's aspirational for her. But the backdrop of the book is, I mean, there's some horrible things. There's incest in the book and some other stuff. And so you had this motion to remove it entirely, and that was, you know, Kevin Adams is the one who wanted to remove it entirely, and they had this conversation about, well, what grade should we have it at?
Moving now to the action item, consider citizens challenged to the Bluest Eye. Is there a motion regarding the Bluest Eye?
Mr. Chair, yes. I move to remove the book.
All right, we have a motion to remove the book. I have a second.
So he moves to remove it entirely.
I'll second that for discussion.
And what you could hear is Paul Fetzko seconding it in the crowd, sighing because they were hoping that it would die for lack of a second. But again, David Williams, with his background as an educator, says,
yeah, I'd like to discuss this. Being principal at Pensacola High School, this was one of the books that was on the list for the IB students. And being an administrator for 17 years, I never received any complaints concerning. It was optional to read, along with Beloved, I believe, was also Toni Morrison's book as well. So I would like to propose an amendment that this is only read at the 11th and 12th grade level on the high school level.
See, that's nuanced. 11th and 12th grade, you know, that's 17 and 18-year-olds typically. Right? That's very different even from 15 and 16 or from 13 and 14. So I like to see that nuance, not just all of high school. And basically, Kevin Adams and Paul Fetzko tried to remove it entirely. That failed. And then you had the other three voted to keep it for the 11th and 12th graders. And Paul Fetzko made the point. He said, look, this was an amazingly well-written book, but he got into the book, and after a while, you had the horrible sex parts, and he said, that's what taints it for me. That's why I wanted to remove it entirely. Which, again, What I'm looking for out of these conversations with the school board members is not necessarily where they end up. what I want to see them considering is, you know, what is the right age and giving as much permission as they can while also making sure to honor what the law requires and what maturity levels are generally going to be. And look, this is never going to be right for everybody. You know, some 13-year-olds could read something that's meant for an 18-year-old, and there's some 40-year-olds who shouldn't be, you know, like they shouldn't be. So, you know, age and maturity are certainly not the same thing. But what I saw in this meeting was a lot of nuance. Okay, a lot of nuance about when and for what age and keeping it for 11th and 12th graders versus 9th graders and all that. And in a moment, I wanted to share with you the perspective that was shared on one of the other books that I think for those of you who are more like on my side, on the side that, yes, there are some books that shouldn't be available and certainly some books that shouldn't be available for all. But I always want to listen to the other side. And the Nowhere Girls one is one where there really is, in my opinion, a value to it, and you couldn't get that value unless you had kind of the ugly stuff in it. We'll talk about that in just a second. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And watching an accident with a roadblock. This is a 9 mile getting onto the interstate. I think that's exit 5, right? Getting on I-10, it looks like. And it is, as I understand, I-10 eastbound entrance. And it is showing a roadblock this morning. Caution wherever you are. You know that. 437-1620. If you have a traffic tip or you know different or you see something, let us know. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. So Nowhere Girls, and again, I have not read the book, okay, just going on the summary. Nowhere Girls is about a group of girls, basically, where one of their fellow classmates winds up getting, I guess, given alcohol and then raped by some boys. And in high school, they kind of band together to like fight back, and they won't date the boys. They won't deal with the boys who are the bad ones. And they kind of, you know, the victims kind of unite and create a culture of anti-rape, right? Which is, you think about that and not just recognizing the danger signs, but also the value that could be for, you know, showing empowerment and community response to something. Okay. So that's kind of the backdrop. And then there was one person, and this is kind of adult, but you know, you need to hear this because this is what somebody said saved him from being abused as a child.
And then in middle school, my church actually had many lessons about sexuality and about healthy and unhealthy relationships using books by Charlie Shedd and some other authors. I've never said this publicly, but when the organist at my church started grooming me for abuse when I was in 9th grade, those books gave me some of the tools I needed to recognize what he was doing and to stop the attempted abuse. So again, books like The Nowhere Girls can be one of those resources.
So it, not that book specifically, but books like that made him aware so that when he found himself on the path of becoming a victim, he could recognize it and deal with it. So it's the whole, you know, educate rather than just shelter. A really good friend of mine, somebody I've known for years, she used to be the public information officer for Malcolm Thomas when he was the superintendent, Kim Stephenson. She also spoke specifically about Nowhere Girls.
Boys need to understand all this stuff about no means no, and no does not mean, well, get her drunk first. No does not mean get her high first. The boys in this story, this team of three, who get girls to where they cannot make a decision, and they rape them and then brag about them online, these three girls turn against them, and they bond all of these girls, the girls that never liked each other before, the hip girls, the cool girls, whatever, they all team up. They build each other up. They start realizing that they're part of the problem. If they turn and slut shame a girl because they found out that she had sex with somebody, then they're being just as bad as the guys who were slut shaming the girl, you know, in the locker room. That all of this has to be done as a group. The girls had to team up to shake up the boys who are good guys, support them. The guys who are not good guys quickly start losing their girlfriends. It's a team effort.
And that, again, that's where you can see that that can't necessarily be just taught as a concept. Part of what's the value of literature is you viscerally experience or vicariously and viscerally experience something, and that changes your perception of a thing, right? You empathize with the victims, so to speak, or you empathize with their response to the victimhood, which gets you to change your behavior. You know, that's why literature works. And it doesn't necessarily work the same when you don't have some of the vivid portrayals of things that make you revulse to it, much like art, same thing.
I have seen, in my career, I was in the Navy, and then I was in education. I was around for Tailhook. Mr. Dennis and I have talked about that before. things have happened to women in schools and in the workplace, and we have to work together to educate young women and young men what is okay and what is not. If this book had been written decades ago and read decades ago, maybe we wouldn't have needed the Me Too. Maybe we could have changed something before. Tailhook didn't do it. We tried, but it didn't work.
Yeah, and, you know, thinking about how do you change that culture, a problem that we have been trying to change for, you know, a long time, right? And what would a book like this, again, I haven't read it. I'm going what other people are saying. What could a book like this do, at least for some ages? And I'm not advocating for elementary school or anything like that, but for some ages, and that's the point, is something's got ugly stuff in it, therefore get rid of it, is not a good educational strategy.
Sexual harassment awareness training has been spread all over the place. It still isn't quite doing it. We've got to get to our youngsters before they cross the line and do something that might affect them forever, whether they're the one that's been assaulted or they're the one that eventually gets arrested or they're the one that ends up in the Supreme Court.
So, and I wanted to just kind of share this with you because I don't think we've had a good long conversation about some of these books and what are some of the ideas surrounding it. And the fact that this is not easy stuff to decide. You know, it might seem easy. Well, that's got, you know, sex described in the book. Okay. You know, so don't give it to eight-year-olds. But what is the book doing? What is the book accomplishing it? You know, what kind of message? And if you read it, how does it transform you or not? Is it lurid? Is it titillating? Or is it persuasive and meaningful and emotionally captivating in a useful moral way? Well, those are the right questions. And then, based on that, what's the right age? Ban it entirely? Put it for 11th and 12th graders, which is what they did here. Put it the, you know, 8th and 9th graders. You know, those are the decisions that are. And again, what I was encouraged by is that the school board was making those kinds of decisions in the end. Whether I agree with the exact line they draw, the fact that they're trying to draw nuanced lines, I thought was an improvement over the first round of books they dealt with. 621 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you've got a plumbing issue of any kind, you got a leak, you got a drip, you got a weird sound in the wall when you flush the toilet or the water pressure, the water temperature, things related to plumbing, you know, you get that. Call Barbary Plumbing. Flat rate pricing by the job, not by the hour. 477-8782.
Are you ready to start saving money on your energy bill? Join Compass Solar Energy this Thursday at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Compass Solar has been locally owned and operated here in the Pensacola area for over 20 years, and they are Northwest Florida's premier solar company. Call in with your questions as we all navigate through the rising cost of energy. That's this Thursday at 10:30 with Compass Solar Energy and the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
What'd you do this time, Brad?
I'm in the doghouse after my hunting trip last weekend.
Yeah, I was too. I blew off our date.
How'd you get out of the doghouse?
Stillwater's Day and Medical Spa. I got her a gift card. It took 3 minutes at swmedspa.com. She booked it this Saturday.
Saturday? So 9 holes then?
Tea times at 8.
To enjoy a hassle-free guys weekend, treat her to a gift card from Stillwater's Day and Medical Spa. Follow Stillwater's on Facebook or Instagram to enter contests and win great prizes. Or visit swmedspa.com.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Saturdays, you get The Garden Line Encore at 9, At Home with Gary Sullivan at 10, Swan Capital at 1, Let's Go Pensacola at 4.
Good morning!
Morning!
Good morning!
Oh, and in case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
Good morning, 624, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Had a great weekend. I don't know, I did. We did Cook for Men Who Cook. My son Ethan and I always do that, and we have a blast doing that. And we won for dessert. Yeah, I know. And so we've got best dessert, bourbon, bacon, cayenne caramel corn. I have to always think of the particular. I called it BBC caramel corn, and he's like, Dad, do you know what BBC stands for? I'm like, son, I'm in the news business. I do know what BBC stands. He's like
blind carbon copy.
British Broadcasting Company, BBC News.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And we have that on Amazon too. Yeah. You and I. Sorry.
Which, by the way, BBC does really good news, generally speaking. Anyway,
they
cover America better than American news generally, which is annoying but true. Anyway, so and he said, "Well, don't call it that." I'm like, "Okay," but then I'm gonna think every time through the words. But it turned out really well, and we won the desserts, which
I didn't
expect that. But people like, "You should sell this. You should sell this." I'm like, "Well, in my spare time on Saturday."
Does it take long to make?
It does. It takes, and it's expensive to make, you know, because bourbon and bacon, right? It's not cheap, but no, it's so good. I brought some in, so.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
So, David, you want some?
Yeah, there's totally some left.
There's some over here. I'll bring it in for you.
Yeah, it sounds pretty good.
By the way, though, Moose, Big Moose from our sister station, Cat Country 98.7, the afternoon host, Afternoon Drive.
Afternoon Drive won
for Best in Show, like the Top Chef. The second year in a row he's won that.
What did he make?
It was brisket with street taco corn salsa and some kind of a Gouda cheese sauce, and then a whole other dessert, which was fantastic. I mean, it was amazing.
Oh, my gosh.
It was really, yeah.
Well, that sounds like Moose.
Moose is a great chef. He really is. Before we get to David, let's get Candy in here with traffic on the fives.
I'm watching an accident. This is I-10 eastbound on the entrance, actually, coming from 9 Mile Road, kind of near Navy Federal, of course. It is that entrance onto I-10 eastbound. It looks like a roadblock this morning. If you know different, or certainly if you have a traffic tip, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local. Dependable.
Thanks, Candy. David Wayne now in the newsroom with our headlines and hungry anticipation for some caramel.
Right,
fun,
yeah.
Think.
I'm a little flustered here. I can't even think about news. All I can think about is food. What's going on here? Former President Trump expected to travel to New York City today for his upcoming arraignment. He reportedly plans to fly into LaGuardia Airport, stay the night at Trump Tower before going to court tomorrow. Pope Francis out of the hospital now. He's back to his duties at the Vatican. He observed Palm Sunday with a service in St. Peter's Square. One day after his discharge, he was treated for bronchitis. And NASA says they're going to be announcing the astronauts that will make up the first mission to the moon in more than 50 years later today. The crew for the Artemis 2 will reportedly include 3 Americans and 1 Canadian, and it's not expected to happen before November of next year.
All right. Thanks so much, David. 627 News Radio 92.3. Yeah, we are under a tornado watch this morning in the entire area. There's severe thunderstorm warnings well to our north in Monroeville and west of there, just north of Hattiesburg. But for our area, we're just looking at tornado watch this morning because the conditions are wonky. To our east, like past Dofuniak, they got flood watch, but that stuff's all cleared past us this morning. What else do we have going on? Oh, if you are an employer and you have a bunch of employees, and maybe you're in that kind of growth phase, and you're starting to get to where there's like too many employees for you to manage yourself with your insurance, your dental, your vision, your life, your disability, your HR, your payroll, or you just kind of wonder, is what I'm doing right now the best way to do it? Well, this is why you call Torgerson Causey. They're a comprehensive employee benefits agency, and they will come in and take a look at what you're doing, and they'll say, okay, this we can do cheaper, this we can do a little bit different, this we can take off your plate, you know, and whatever they tell you is good stuff, because I know we've been working with them for about 5 or 6 years here at Cat Country and News Radio, and they've been fantastic. They gave us options we didn't have before. They saved us money, and we got to, you know, whenever we have a question, we call them. They either know it right off or they get right back to us with very good detailed answers. So they have been fantastic from my personal point of view. Locally owned and celebrating more than 20 years in business, find out what they might be able to do for you at Torgerson Causey, 433-9996, or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com. 628 News Radio 92.3. Weird story out of Tate High School. One that we'd got covered over the weekend a little bit by, I think it was Channel 3 and the PNJ both kind of, I know Channel 3 was doing a story on this. But basically this, during the lockdown that Tate had last week, you had one of the students who's like a senior. She was apparently online, maybe at northescambia.com, I think is where, but they're not really sure if this is why, but kind of because clarity on the why hasn't been given. But said something about the lockdown and maybe that there might have been a shooter on campus. And I guess the school district has a policy that you're not supposed to communicate outside during an incident. And so she's like not going to be able to go to her prom, which I think was just this last weekend already, like that quickly, has going to have trouble taking one of the tests for college and some other things. And I certainly don't know enough of the facts of the case other than, you know, kind of what Channel 3 has been reporting on and what she says and to talk to administrators and all that. And I get that there's a value to these communications policies, but, you know, she's apparently a good student and you just, is that the right answer? You know, like, I'm always, I guess I'm always find myself flustered when I see people in positions to make decisions about, like, school discipline or other disciplinary cases where it just doesn't feel like enough of the individual judgment, grace, mercy, wisdom versus, well, we've got this rule and we've just got to follow the rule. You know, I'm not saying that Tate is doing it this way. I just know it comes against a backdrop of we used to have these things called zero tolerance policies, which to my way of thinking, a zero tolerance policy is a no thinking policy. And I want administrators who think. I want, you know, counselors and school principals and deans who make judgments and make decisions. I don't want this inflexible, impersonal rule book governing things. I want people. People make more human decisions based on the circumstances. That's all I'm hoping for.
Fox News, I'm Karen McHugh. Extraordinary security precautions will be in place in New York tomorrow for the arraignment of former President Trump.
Metal barricades have been set up around Manhattan Criminal Court and Trump Tower, and New York City officials are planning to close key streets in Lower Manhattan as they brace for potential protests. Tomorrow, the entire courthouse will be cleared for a sweep, and no other business will be done until Trump's arraignment is over.
Fox's Madeline Rivera, Mr. Trump's expected to speak from Mar-a-Lago Tuesday evening. Meanwhile, President Biden is headed for Minnesota today.
The Investing in America tour continues at a manufacturer of clean energy technology. President Joe Biden's stop in Minnesota is one of many across America where the president will try to sell the American people on his agenda as he claims it's moving the country in the right direction.
Fox's Ryan Schmelz. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31, News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Cloudy skies, 73 degrees. We do have a tornado watch in effect for the entire listening area. That's going to be until about 11 o'clock this morning. A West Pensacola arcade bar that's been at odds with the county for several months now over getting an alcohol permit finally got approval to start serving drinks. The Grid Arcade now able to serve beer to their patrons. Their dispute with the county was over just a couple of dozen feet. The county said they were less than 1,000 feet from a daycare facility. The last measurement came out to about 950 feet.
There's tons of people out here who are trying to pursue business just like I am. They're having hard times, and they dropped the dreams because they were told no.
That's Daniel Demeter. He owns the arcade, the Grid Arcade, and he pled his case recently before the Escambia County Board of Adjustments. He ended up building an extra 30 feet of sidewalk in front of his building to get the approval. Demeter says his business is now growing rapidly. A teenager in Walton County accused of intentionally driving into oncoming traffic and causing a chain reaction crash. The Florida Highway Patrol says all this happened on I-10 last Friday. A 15-year-old from Ponce de Leon was being chased by troopers when she allegedly drove through the median into oncoming traffic. That teen's car hit a pickup truck that was pulling a trailer. Two other vehicles then crashed as well. FHP says the teenager was the only person that was hurt in the crash. Governor Ron DeSantis appears to be gaining some support in a key battleground state. He was the headliner in Pennsylvania at the leadership conference on Saturday. And some Trump supporters said they came out favoring DeSantis. Two polls were out yesterday, though, showing Trump still leading DeSantis for the 2024 GOP primary. Well, if you drive past the post office in Lillian, Alabama this week, you might notice a little bit of damage to the building. Apparently, a car crashed into it on Saturday. The Baldwin County Sheriff's Office, the Lillian Fire Department both responded to that crash. Now, the good news is nobody was hurt. Right now, though, there's no word on how extensive the damage to the building was. And anybody headed to the courthouse in Escambia County, Alabama, in Bruton is going to have to go through a new screening process to get in starting today. Security personnel are going to be checking for prohibited items like guns, knives, pepper spray, lighters, anything they believe could be used potentially as a weapon. And officials say if you need to go there, you might want to arrive early to make it through that screening process. A Century man convicted on drug and weapon charges. He'll be sentenced later this month. North Escambia reporting Kendrick Jamar Washington was found guilty recently on cocaine trafficking and carrying firearm charges. Prosecutors say that Washington had pointed a weapon at his sister and threatened to kill her last June. She filed a report after that incident with the sheriff's office. It is 6:34 News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with Candy.
Everything looks like running smoothly except for that accident on 9 Mile Road. And technically, it's not on 9 Mile. It's on the entrance to I-10 eastbound. That's exit 5 getting onto I-10 eastbound. Vehicle crash showing a roadblock this morning for 9 Mile, kind of near Navy Fed. Caution there and wherever you are. It's brought to you by ECUA. Help ECUA ensure recyclable materials are processed correctly and keep the recycling program on track. Go to livegreenecua.com or you can download the Recycle Coach app today. Make sure you're recycling the right stuff. 437-1620. If you have traffic tips, text them in. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
It's going to be a nice day throughout the morning with temperatures warming up near 81 degrees in the afternoon. Showers and thunderstorms possible through the later half of the day. 50% chance of rain. Overnight tonight, temperatures staying warm with a low near 72. We're going to stay warm as you go into Tuesday with a high near 80 degrees. Small chance of a stray shower, 10% chance of rain overall. By Tuesday night, temperatures dropping into the 70s. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. Right now, tornado watch in effect until 11. It's 73 cloudy in Pensacola, 72 in Gulf Breeze, and 71 in Milton. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Jennifer Kashinko with Your Money Now. McDonald's is temporarily closing its U.S. offices this week as it prepares to inform corporate employees about layoffs undertaken by the burger giant as part of a broader company restructuring. The Chicago-based fast food chain last week told U.S. employees and some international staff they should work from home from Monday through Wednesday so it can deliver staffing decisions virtually. The company asked employees to cancel all in-person meetings with vendors and other outside parties at its headquarters. McDonald's declined to comment Sunday on the number of employees being laid off. Two of the main backers of last year's Ocean Shipping Reform Act in the U.S. have come up with an updated piece of legislation that takes aim at China's influence in the ocean shipping space. The bill would prohibit U.S. ports from using China's National Transportation Logistics Public Information Platform. On Wall Street, futures pointing to a mixed open after stocks rallied on Friday. The Dow Industrial surged 415. That's Your Money Now.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm. These are tough times for everyone, so dealing with your timeshare may not be your biggest concern. But when this passes, do you still want a lifetime of payments, fees, and commitments for a timeshare you were misled into buying?
Hi, I'm Chuck McDowell, CEO and founder of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I started the timeshare cancellation industry by exposing the ugly truth about timeshares and giving folks the straight facts. I've been fighting the timeshare giants ever since, so no one knows this industry better than me and my team. Today, we have saved our clients an average of $65,000 in lifetime payments. Imagine putting those timeshare dollars back in your pocket. Give my office a call today. I guarantee if we take you as a client, we will cancel your timeshare or you'll pay nothing.
Call Wesley Financial now for your free information kit. 800-959-3388. That's 800-959-3388. 800-959-3388.
Bands on the Beach is back. Bring a lawn chair or a towel and enjoy live music at the stage on Pensacola Beach. There's plenty of room to spread out and enjoy the sand, the sunset, and great live music every Tuesday night at 7. This week, the Reunion Band making their final Bands on the Beach appearance ahead of their retirement on June 1st. Don't miss the Reunion Band playing all your favorite hits one more time at Bands on the Beach.
Hi, this is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel for the Chamber Connection Show that will keep you informed on what's going on with your Chamber of Commerce. Tune in at 10 to find out about our upcoming events, all of our different programs, and what's happening with our local business community. It's the Chamber Connection Show every other Monday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Tune in to News Radio Pensacola on the FM dial at 92.3 and 95.3. Listen on the AM dial at 1620. Stream us online at newsradio923.com or download the News Radio Pensacola app. You can also listen to podcasts of all of our local shows on demand and get news and traffic alerts. Listen to local talk shows in the morning and afternoon drive, and we're Pensacola's home for Brian Kilmeade. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
So every single person in the known universe, when this song comes on and the drum snare hits, they do what?
Clap.
But it's not a clap. It's a snare. Why do we clap instead of drum?
Because we don't have drums in front of us, Whiplash. I mean, come on. That's why.
But everybody does it. I think it's funny. As you and I were both doing it, I'm sitting there thinking, well, that's not a clap, though. Every single person does it.
When I came in to fill in, when I was crying because I didn't know how to do your board or whatever, I remember that coming on, us both going,
that's
at the
right
same time. And I was like, oh, I can do this.
All right, that's right. We're there.
But yeah, we do clap.
640 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, musical. We had this interesting conversation at the Escambia County Commission, which this ongoing saga of the District 1 Medical Examiner's Facility, you know, where they're going to process the autopsies and tell you why people died, and they're going to provide evidence when it comes to homicides and a whole host of services. The current one is in the Sacred Heart basement, basically, and it's a terrible facility. Everybody knows that. The question is how to remedy it, and it had been this kind of backdrop was we're going to build one in Santa Rosa County and all four counties because it's a District 1, it's a four-county area that we're going to share this, and then you know, Escambia County, which is the vast, well, not the, what is it, like half, I think, of all the deaths in Escambia, and then the other half of the other three counties split around. So, you know, there's been some disagreement, let's just say, between the counties about how to proceed and the price tag of a fairly expensive facility north of $20 million. And, you know, is that really necessary? So Stephen Berry was talking about this in the meeting. He's the District 5 commissioner, the north end of Escambia County.
On some level, you know, it's difficult for lay people like myself to get down to, you know, what the needs are. And you know, I think that anytime we start talking about new facilities with a, you know, with a functioning office, even if it's not functioning ideally, you start by saying, where, you know, what exactly do we have?
And what is the real need as opposed to the wish list, right? That's the challenge. And if it's functioning now, even if it's functioning, you know, badly, it's functioning. Well, you know, the problem is that if the medical examiner hates the job, then you lose the medical examiner, then you got to find one, and there aren't that many. They're not exactly an abundant resource in the world. And not being able to process, so you have backlogs and problems with chain of custody for evidence and just all kinds of issues, okay? So he says that, you know, he met with Eric Gilmore, the director of public safety over EMS, one of the very relevant Escambia agencies, and Dan Schiebler, the former county administrator for Santa Rosa County, and also now the head of DOMS, and the medical examiner, Deanna Lesky, to talk about. And there were three issues. Okay, the three big issues were cooler space for bodies, tables, okay, so that you can do the autopsies, so physical capacity, and security. And he says, look, Sacred gave us really good answers on all three in their current facility with expansion capacity.
The conversation about the coolers that we're moving forward with is going to more than double the cooler space. That was one of the top line issues that was brought up. That's a, you know, one of the things that was said from the podium by one of the employees was, you know, the possibility of stacking bodies in the hallway. You know, that's a very troubling image, you know, that said publicly.
You think?
So that's a big concern. So the conversation more than doubles the cooler space.
Okay, so that theoretically solves that problem at Sacred. What about the autopsy tables?
The autopsy tables, there's not, you know, that problem being raised was there's not enough room to work. Okay, well, we don't have enough tables. So the conversation with Sacred also more than doubles the autopsy tables that are available.
So two out of three, he says, in conversations with them, they can solve. And, you know, one of the problems is the in and out with security and lots of people into the facility, plus located with other organizations or entities there. And he says, look, that same thing, Don Rudolph from Sacred says, we can fix that.
Don has agreed to have the Sacred Heart employees that are currently cohabitating in the facility out of that facility. so that the facility can be secured to, you know, to maintain chain of custody issues or, you know, again, a layperson in law enforcement stuff, some of you may know better than I do, but I know that there are rules about maintaining, you know, not just the bodies themselves, but the evidence that's associated with them, whether it's fibers or clothes or whatever. So that, you know, the secure facility, that made sense to me as well.
So in his mind, all three issues can be solved without having to build an expensive new facility, at least from Escambia County's perspective. And he's irritated because he feels like he and the county have been making good progress on a solution, maybe outside of the news, and the news seems to be that Escambia County's dragging their feet, stick in the mud, won't want to go around with the deal, and there's no progress.
I don't believe that there's been a lot of, you know, communication of those efforts that Escambia County was making during that period of time, having conversations with multiple board members of our neighboring, you know, our partners in the in District 1. To a person, the board members, this is conversations with six or seven, you know, out of 15. None of them were aware of any of that. All they had been told about Escambia County was Escambia County wasn't cooperating and we were being obstinate and an obstacle in the process. And that's, I don't think that's a good faith conversation about what was going on over here at the time.
So he thinks, you know, movement has been made. You know, he thinks that the estimates of the real costs appropriate for the real needs have been, you know, exaggerated and doesn't need to be quite that big and extravagant. We'll come back to his comments here in a second because, you know, this is gonna take a turn in a minute, and I want you to know about the turn because it's an important development in the story. Before we get to that, Candy's got traffic on the fives.
I'm anxious to find out. On GetRefunds.com, bringing you traffic this morning, showing an accident near 9 Mile Road, the 9 Mile Road entrance to I-10, rather, that is to say exit 5, but it looks like that has been cleared off to the side. It looks like emergency crews are on scene. So caution there, and that's the only thing that we're seeing this morning. Certainly, if you have a traffic tip, text 437-1620. Ready to get your business the help it deserves? Find out if it qualifies for the ERC assistance in less than 8 minutes. Up to $26,000 per employee could be waiting. Go to GetRefunds.com and get started. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. So back to the conversation about the District 1 Medical Examiner's Facility. Remember, the two options, the main option, the one that's been talked about the most, is the idea of building a facility probably in Santa Rosa County that would handle everybody for all four counties, okay? What Escambia County had kind of come back with and said was, well, what if we do two facilities? Can we not do the some kind of an expansion, refurbishment, upgrade, maintenance, repair, and overhaul, you know, MRO for what's at Sacred Heart right now, and then also build a facility maybe in Okaloosa, maybe in Santa Rosa, that would handle kind of those three counties' needs and not necessarily Escambia County's needs? And Stephen Berry says, look, much of the time in the past, when we get told that a problem is pressing and there's only one answer, and it just that doesn't turn out to be the case.
To an instance of the times that something has come before us that this has to be done, and this is the only answer to this problem, it's been my experience that neither of those have been true in those instances.
And so the urgency of spending a lot of money to fix a problem in only one particular way, he says, it's never really turned out to be that way. And when we get snowed into believing it, we make mistakes. So he says, look, I'd be willing to kick in maybe $1 million towards a facility that Escambia County isn't even really going to use because it's what needs to be done. You know, Jeff Bergosh said he'd kind of agree with that. And so then Commissioner Bender, Robert Bender, is asking the question of Craig Coffey, who's the Okaloosa Assistant Administrator, but he's also one of the key people in the Domes administration trying to figure this out. He says,
Is it safe to assume that the possibility of operating two facilities is viable and is on the table?
I can't speak for the rest of my Domes board, but I would say yes. The goal I've been trying to do is to find out, is there a middle ground that we can reach on by all means.
Okay, so the two facility possibility is at least within the realm of what we could do. And that seemed to be the direction that Bender, Bergosh, and Barry were all headed in, okay? And so, and Lumen May will go along with whatever Stephen Barry says. So that's four votes. And then Mike Kohler, who's the new commissioner from District 2, and his background is in medicine and nursing and all of this. And, you know, it was Lumen May's birthday, so this began with a little bit of humor.
All right, Mr. Chairman, can I make a few comments about this project?
You're limited to 3 minutes.
your birthday will still happen today.
When everybody else had already talked for a bunch, but then he went on.
I wasn't here, obviously, for those discussions. I've only met Dan twice. I told you the first time I met you, Dan, I thought it was too big. I know it was too big because I designed medical things before. It was way too big for the scope of what we need to do.
So that's Dan Schiebler he's talking to, and he's telling him the facility you guys proposed in the meeting is way too big. It's not necessary to build it that big. And I know this stuff, and he's going to get into a back and forth here with Commissioner Bender. And what I want you to take away from this is not the particulars of what they're squabbling about, but recognize the kind of expertise that Mike Kohler is bringing to this conversation. This is his domain, right? Healthcare and dealing with bodies and all of this stuff is stuff he knows really well.
But I did go tour the building, and it is outdated. We need a new building. I'll just put it there without going through 30 minutes of Joint Commission regulations for y'all to be bored with. Dan, do we have a Joint Commission survey on that? I meant to ask you that in the past.
They're not covered by the Joint Commission.
Oh, yes, they are. Infection control, histosamples that are in the back, they have to.
It'd be the labs, but not.
Well, they have labs in there. They have egress. They have ILSM. We don't need to go into that. But
I'm asking because I didn't see where they were.
Every place where you're doing any kind of thing in a medical facility, for example, in your biohazard area, which has had a closed block door, which I addressed with you, the porous floors, the chain of custody and this isn't really necessary because I know what the issues are there. My concern is that the building is not set up. Okay, that's the first problem. We need to do something about the building.
All right, so the genuine subject matter expert in the room is saying, let's not, you know, as an elected official, is saying, we can't do it. What you want to do, we just can't really do.
The second problem is, for me, it's not cost effective to have two buildings. I'd like to have the building in Escambia County. A forensic pathologist costs about $400,000. There ain't that many of them. We need one building for a lot of reasons. You need one building for transport time. You need one building, you know, so you can consolidate efforts in that. You're not driving. There's a lot of reasons from a medical reason you would want to have that in one building.
And he says having two buildings doesn't really make sense. Okay, so he says can't refurbish the Sacred Heart facility. Can't do two buildings.
The most important thing is the mission. The mission of the medical examiner is to identify the cause of death. And the cause of death is determined if that evidence can be used in a court of law for prosecution, or it's a natural cause of death, or whatever that may be. All this stuff about where we harbor that and what the greater good is should go back to the mission. And the mission is to make sure we give justice and find out what the cause of death is.
So in the end, they voted to just ignore him and just move ahead with the two facility kind of concept to pursue that to see what's going to happen. Now, this is not a done deal. Nothing is decided yet. But I'll tell you, when Stephen Barry was talking as an outside layman, I'm listening to him explain it and his talks with Don Rudolph. And I'm like, OK, well, that makes sense to me. Also, two facilities, refurbish the one, build the second one, put a little bit of money in so everybody's happy. But then Mike, who's the subject matter expert, Commissioner Kohler, starts talking. And I'm like, look, it's outside of my domain. But the guy who knows says, no, it's not going to work. And I'm presuming the medical examiner is on that same, you know, view. And so at some point, you just have to decide, look, I don't know enough. And I'm going to trust the people who say, and we're going to do it that way. And, of course, the problem is I've said this many times. Nobody wants to spend money on this. Now, certainly the like extravagant facility wasn't necessary, but a more appropriate level for a facility that's going to cost some money does seem like the way to go. And the basic problem is nobody's screaming for it. There's nobody's going to be excited about this. There's no ribbon cutting for the skate park or the park or the fixed road or anything like that. Nobody's going to care when a medical facility gets built, except we're going to care when at the other side, when it doesn't work right, that, you know, cases are lost and people's loved ones aren't properly handled and all of that kind of stuff. So I guess against my own preference, I lean toward the single facility. I want to hear more, but I also want to hear the board listen to people who really know. That's the key takeaway here. 6:53 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Splash Magazine covers the coast like the Gulf of Mexico. Each month, Splash Magazine offers a calendar of events, plus tips on where to shop, dine, and play. Learn about the month's special events, live entertainment, and interesting local people. Learn how to catch fish with Captain Dave Yelverton. See what is worth watching on your streaming services. Tom Nolan will tell you the latest. Find out how to dress for the changing Florida weather with Jen Wells. Get the most out of the Emerald Coast by reading Splash Magazine each month. For more information, call Gulf Breeze News at 850-932-8986 or visit GulfBreezeNews.com online.
Spring is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs and summer blooming plants, and of course, tending to that vegetable garden. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got spring gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9. It's sponsored by Pensacola Hardware, Blue Sky Landscaping, and Barnes Feed Store.
Get your finances in order and become financially free with Dave Ramsey. Weekdays 1 to 4 after Brian Kilmeade on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Average for a gallon of gas, 350. Florida average, 347. Texas is 315, and California is 438. If you're in Navarre, hey, prices have dropped. Penny. 314 east at the Walmart and 312 west at the Walmart. So that's actually, I mean, that's the first price dip in like 3 weeks. It's amazing. 309 at the Murphy across the street from the foot of the Garcon Point Bridge. And when you're in proper, Gulf Breeze proper, you got 335, looks like, at the first station. 318 in Milton at the Raceway before Avalon. Same at the Pea Ridge Murphy. And then 329 everywhere through Pace. Getting over into Pensacola, a 9 mile, you got 313 at the Walmart, 318 on US 29 at the Murphy in front of the Walmart. Coming in from the southwest side, 318 at the Murphy on Navy Boulevard. 655 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Sure do. And it looks like the accident on 9 Mile, the entrance to I-10, looks like it has been cleared off to the side. Watch for emergency vehicles. This is brought to you by Avalon HR. So much going on. You need Avalon. That's employing made easy. I'm not showing any other incidences right now, but if you have traffic tips, text 437-1620. It's News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The vaccine at all locations.
President Biden approving a major disaster declaration in Arkansas after a weekend of storms and tornadoes. The move opens up federal funding there. Funeral services being held today for a Alabama police officer. Garrett Crumby was killed last week during a shots fired call at an apartment complex. And President... Oh, I think I already read that one.
Cool.
Yep. Sorry.
No, it's no worries.
Hey, how about this one, though? Former President Trump headed to New York today for his upcoming arraignment. He plans to fly into LaGuardia Airport, and he'll be staying the night at Trump Tower before he makes his planned court appearance tomorrow. And so far, reports are there haven't been a lot of protests, but they are preparing for anything, according
to the government. Prepare for it, I would think, would be the wise word. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. You know, if you're getting ready to buy that next vehicle, you got to decide between used and new, right? I mean, that's basic choice. Maybe you've already made that choice, and that's fine. But if you haven't, here's what I recommend you do. Go to the dealer, you know, look at the car, drive the car, look at the price, okay? And then go to Frontier and look at the same car a year or two or three later with low miles and good condition and good prices and look at the price and ask yourself the question, is it worth the price difference to get the new vehicle? That's it. That's an adult decision. Because that's what you're deciding on between Frontier and because it's basically like almost new cars. You just don't have to pay the new price, right? That's the advantage of it. So when you go there, big selection, you know, 300 cars, trucks, vans on the lot. You can side-by-side compare them very easily, drive them, sit in them, all of that kind of stuff. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. Interesting story that I saw yesterday. Coming out of Alabama, the Austell, the former president of Austell, has been indicted for multi-million dollar accounting fraud. And there's a lot of backdrop to all of this, but and he's basically working at another shipbuilding company now, and they're basically saying, "Ash, mash," like, which is weird. But it has to do with things like the when they bid on the LCS, you know, the Independence class that they build, that's got the other the Freedom class that's built elsewhere. Those are the trimaran ships that are running around that we're now kind of getting rid of that have had problems. The ones built elsewhere have it's not drivetrain, but it's some kind of a something with the drive components has been a problem for the ones built at Mobile. It's been hull issues. Like they've had cracks and couldn't operate more than 15 miles an hour. It's all kinds of crazy stuff. But then they got the bid because they bid low, and it turns out they bid too low because, you know, things were way more expensive than they anticipated because they're relatively new into this whole industry. And that's been one of the issues is that when the cost started to come back higher than they were supposed to be, they didn't report that properly. Therefore, when it did come out, they lost a lot of money. They had to downgrade like $100 million worth of their share price. Anyway, so he's been indicted for fraud. And now the question is going to be, you know, or related charges. So the question is going to be, well, how does Austell recover from all of that? A real quick future news, Candy, will Austell be able to cover? Now, he's not at the company anymore, okay? Right. But will Austell be able to recover from this and some of the other issues there that they've had?
100%. That's a great
thing. I'm going to say yes, but, you know, they probably need to be doing things a little bit differently is going to be the thing going forward. All right, we'll be back in just a minute. Thanks so much for listening.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.